They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
It's all about one thing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. You can say the stock markets are down because of this and because of that, but it really boils down to just one issue: corporate profits. Some very stout companies are losing money for the first time. Yesterday, Microsoft announced mass layoffs. It's never done that in its 34-year history. Today, Samsung reported its first quarterly loss ever. And so in Japan, the Nikkei fell almost 4%. European shares are down almost 2%. The Dow fell 105 points yesterday, more than a percent, to 8122. The NASDAQ really got hit, almost 3% down, with a loss of 41 points. Today's scary company, GE. It's expected to deliver some bad news about its fourth quarter profits. Here's Elisa Roth.
General Electric's stock is worth 62% less than it was a year ago. In December, GE said it wouldn't forecast quarterly results anymore, and it's not making any predictions about next year either. Richard Sparks is an equities analyst with Schaefer's Investment Research. He says part of GE's problem is its image. It's long been thought of as an industrial stock.
What we're seeing now, though, over recent years, is that General Electric has kind of transformed itself, and a large part of its business now is actually in the financial area.
Which, of course, means it's been hit along with the rest of the financial companies. Sparks says one lousy earnings report shouldn't matter too much, since most companies are doing badly right now.
Expectations across the board for this quarter's earnings are very subdued.
Still, there's talk that GE's poor performance of late could force it to lose its AAA credit rating, and Sparks says that could put a real mark on its reputation. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
The U.S. has been in recession for about a year, according to people who track such things. But today, Britain, for the first time, proclaimed recession. We're joined by our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, in London. Stephen, what's it look like over there?
It indicates that the downturn is clearly accelerating and accelerating fast. GDP in the last quarter fell 1.5%, much more than many people were forecasting, and double the rate in the previous quarter. Unemployment has hit 1.92 million here. That's well above 6%. And many forecasters are now saying, on the basis of these figures that we have here this morning, that unemployment will hit more than 3 million before this recession is out.
Is there any sense that the British government and the new Obama administration will work together in any way to tackle this dual recession?
British Prime Minister Gordon Brown would like nothing more than to be seen as almost an equal of Obama, as the wise old man of world economics counseling the newcomer. But he has huge problems here at home. This week, he launched a second major bank bailout, and it didn't go down very well. Foreign exchange markets gave it the thumbs down. The pound fell to a 25-year low against the US dollar.
And what's the main criticism there?
Well, it's a worry. It's a fear. Investors are fretting that the British government has taken on absolutely huge liabilities by offering to insure the toxic assets of British banks. I mean, just to take one example, the Royal Bank of Scotland, the most vulnerable, the most troubled bank, which is now 70% owned by the British taxpayer, its liabilities are almost double the size of the entire British economy. Now, the British government says we can handle this. There is no problem. We are not Iceland. But there is clearly a lot of worry out there, a lot of unease.
All right, Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
We've bailed out our banks with little to show for it so far. We haven't seen what we were supposed to see, an increase in lending. The burning question is why? Four words, the capital adequacy requirement. I think it's time for another installment of the Marketplace Decoder. And I have just the guy to explain it to you. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
As a business reporter, I've got a bit of an edge. My dad, Joe Gretsch, works as a loan officer at Royal Bank America, a regional bank near Philadelphia. So whenever I come across an arcane financial term, he's my go-to guy. Hey, Dad, it's Dan. Do you have a sec? I just had a quick favor to ask.
Sure.
Can you tell me what a capital adequacy requirement is?
Well, I'll try. That basically is a minimum amount of capital that a bank must have in order to keep doing business or lending money.
It's a kind of cushion to protect investors if things go sour.
Let's say that you are a bank and that you have $100 million in assets. And by assets, I mean everything that the bank owns, buildings, investments, cash, etc. So the capital adequacy requirement for that bank would be 10% of the $100 million or $10 million.
In other words, the value of the bank's assets would be 10% more than the value of its liabilities, such as issued stock and borrowed money. It's not always 10%. The thickness of the cushion is determined by international agreement and enforced by federal regulators. The riskier the assets, the higher the percentage.
Now, let's say that the bank makes lots of bad loans and bad investments. So as the losses pile up, the bank's capital might dip below that $10 million floor. Does that help you?
Well, yeah, but what happens next?
Well, basically the bank stops lending.
He says that explains why many banks are getting billions in federal bailout money but aren't lending it out.
They are using that federal money to bulk up their capital reserves and get them back above that minimum.
My dad's an opinionated guy. He couldn't help but slip in his 2 cents.
I have to say as a banker that it's a good thing that TARP money is out there because it has stabilized a lot of banks. Really has.
Thanks, Dad. Any chance you could help stabilize me with a little capital infusion? I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Share your opinions with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.